나자이다나브라보니사나야야제이자고라나시바사지고
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on September 7th, 1981 in London, England. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text 10, and was recorded on the auspicious appearance day of Srimata Radharani.
Prasanna dhisthaya silata pasochanam
Prasanna dhisthaya silata pasochanam
Jive mate sundarahas sobhitam
Jive mate sundarahas sobhitam
Apasyamana bhadanam manoharam
Apasyamana bhadanam manoharam
Iti chodirita vacha
Iti chodirita vacha
Rajanam bhaktavatsala
Rajanam bhaktavatsala
Srinivano nugrahan vishtaya
Srinivano nugrahan vishtaya
Ritanvan pravisatpuram
Ritanvan pravisatpuram
Vatangavayananath tiroshite swayi
Vatangavayananath tiroshite swayi
Prasanna dhisthaya kilata pasochanam
Prasanna dhisthaya kilata pasochanam
Jive mate sundarahas sobhitam
Jive mate sundarahas sobhitam
Apasyamana bhadanam manoharam
Apasyamana bhadanam manoharam
Iti chodirita vacha
Iti chodirita vacha
Rajanam bhaktavatsala
Rajanam bhaktavatsala
Srinivano nugraham drishtaya
Srinivano nugraham drishtaya
Nitanvan pravisatpuram
Nitanvan pravisatpuram
O Master
Oh, Master,
if you live abroad, all the time, then we cannot look, at your attractive face, who smiles, vanquish all our suffering. How can we exist, without your presence? The Lord, who is very kind, to the citizens and the devotees, Entered the city of Dwaraka, and acknowledged all their greetings,
by casting
his transcendental glance over them, supported by his divine grace to the Ashri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vedanta. Realize what is the solution to our problem, and if we take the necessary steps to achieve it, then immediately all the problems are over. Actually, these devotees absorbed in the presence or in the separation of Krishna, they're not aware of or conscious of all the sufferings of this material world. Such is the quality of Krishna. That someone who has developed some attraction for Krishna, who once has been attracted by Krishna, he can't forget Krishna. And for that person, so-called happiness or distress in this material world is not a very insignificant thing. That is how powerful is the attraction to Krishna. Because actually this material world is nothing but a reflection. The sunlight is very intense illuminating. But the reflection of that through a colored and even irregular, imperfect lens or reflective surface cannot compare to the original brilliance of the sun. This life, every day in England, the sunrise. But more often than not, they have cloud-filled sky. So the sunlight reflected off of the clouds somehow or another, a little bit gets through. But nobody takes that to be a replacement for the direct sunlight. They won't say that that sunlight and the sunny day is the same. Let's say today is a lousy day. No sun. Overcast. Gloomy. And when the bright sunlight comes through, I say, oh, today is a very nice day. Everyone will feel very encouraged. So if you've never seen the sun, then of course you might think that, well, it's all right. But once you've seen the sun, then no matter how many times you see the relative overcast, partly overcast, extremely overcast, you might see some difference. But it doesn't replace. You're always hankering when you'll have a nice sunny day. So like that, this material world is covered by Maya. Whatever we see nice in this world is just a little bit of Krishna's qualities coming through. But only a fraction. When the Maya is removed, when the cloud is removed, then we see the full beauty. Then we see the full perfection, which we are hankering for. Someone would like us to believe that there's no such thing as a sunny day. Overcast is an eternal quality. There's no such thing as supreme absolute truth. No such thing as the supreme person, supreme beauty, supreme perfection. Whatever we see, that's it. So that's all right for those who never open their eyes to see more. But once someone has even his eyes slightly open, even he gets a glimpse, even a ray of that pure illumination, how can he be satisfied? How can that person be satisfied with this material changing world as the summum bonum? So we can make the best use of a bad bargain, just like these residents of Dwarka, how fortunate they were. Krishna came down to show that devotees can live with him, they can have perfection, his association, and various type of pastimes, various type of tastes, mellows, relationships. Just like the residents of Dwarka, they were able to become Krishna conscious. They were doing so many things in Dwarka. That means that Krishna consciousness is not limited to anyone. It describes that in that village, Kalindi, Kulinagram. In Kulinagram, where Haridas Thakur. He was always favoring the Kalina Vasis. There, even the people who were moving the pigs around here and there, even they were chanting Hare Krishna. Even they were appreciating Krishna's quality. So in other words, anyone can be Krishna conscious. This is Krishna's promise. Suyas, Vaishnava, Satas, Sudras. Those who are ordinarily unfortunate, not very attuned to high philosophical understanding, businessmen, laborers, simple women, they're not very attuned to all the great philosophical speculations and understandings. But they get the special mercy also. Everyone. What to speak of those who are more intelligent, if they also take through surrendering to Krishna very easily, they can achieve. So, discovering of Maya, the separating of Maya means that which is not. That which is not. So Maya, you see, is that which is Ma, not Ya, to go to Krishna. That's what's stopping us from going to Krishna, stopping us from seeing Krishna, stopping us from understanding Krishna. Maya. You can't go. Just like I was mentioning, one Indian family encouraged their son very much to come to our temple and chant and pray to Krishna for his material benefit and for his getting good exams in his college, so on and so forth. Because at least in India, the people believe in dharma, religiosity, but generally for getting artha, for getting economic development and karma, sense gratification. But the boy was very intelligent, so after a few months of visiting, started chanting 16 rounds, so he finally decided, what is the use of going, he's only a freshman, what's the use of, at this point, entering into or completing the whole educational field. He got the idea, well, let me enter the Varnashram college and study deeply Krishna consciousness, become a preacher. So his father felt that in the family he was the black sheep. All the other cousins, they were very high positioned officers and executives, military men. He was a more humble professional man. So he wanted his son to complete his university, go to America, get a job, and then he could come back from America as his son and show off everybody that I've made it. Therefore his father would save face. So suddenly his son said, no, I'm not interested in going to the West, I'm not interested in going back to Godhead. Father became furious. He came in yelling at the devotee. Before he was all praise, wonderful program your people are doing. You're doing the real work of our Vedic culture. Came in yelling and screaming, you've ruined my son, you brainwashed him. Spies, said, so many things. Why? Because this is Maya. Maya, yes, you can even be a little religious. But only that God will supply your needs. Oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread. That's all right. That's also with, because that's within Maya's domain. Just like you phone up, right? Send over a pizza, plain, right? Oh Lord, give us our pizza, bread, every day, right? Say, what's the difference? Only God, we're not paying anything. He's the man we have to pay. So even that's not bad. At least there's some relationship. Something is better than nothing. We're not criticizing. Something is better than nothing. Better than no relationship. Those who are in the modes of ignorance and passion, they have two kinds of relationship. No relationship, God is dead, or God is our order supplier. He'll give us this life. In Russia, after the revolution, then people were, the government cut off the bread, cut off the supply of food, so the people were starving. Then they approached the people and said that, well, are you hungry? He said, yes. You have bread? No. So why don't you pray to God? Go to the churches, pray. Here, go to the church, pray. Then they go and pray. God, give us some bread. Come out. Said, did God give you any bread? He said, not yet. You pray to us for bread? Give us some bread. Bring in the trucks. Bring in the delivery. Give them bread. What is the meaning of your God? He didn't give you bread. We gave you bread. We are God. The party. This is their system. Of course, they can't produce the bread. Without Krishna providing rain, without Krishna providing sunlight, just like today, there's insufficient rain, so they have to purchase wheat from America. Why don't they just produce? Because Krishna didn't give them that much rain, so they're in a difficult situation. So this is the, of course, the materialistic view. The people's faith is either they don't believe in God, or if they believe God, He supplies. If they feel, oh, the supply isn't enough, just like the government. Not giving enough facility, not enough chicken in every pot, alright, kick it out. So they're becoming like that. Oh, God is not supplying us, kick Him out. You don't, God is dead. Even the word God, just to say it, has a dogmatic type of context, the way it's buffered around. Therefore we say, Supreme Personality of Godhead, to avoid it. Great concept. But actually, just like the sun is supporting this whole universe, and there are millions of universes, greater, millions and millions of times greater than this universe. They're all being supported. Ako bahunam vidha tu kaman, my one original source. Who is ultimately intelligent, filled with imperishable qualities. We can become in contact with him immediately, very easily. And the real goal of life is not simply to have a hotline with him to provide our bread. That he's already doing. He's provided the bread. Of course, we can pray like that. He'll also take a personal interest to some extent. Depending on our activities also. But the real thing is if we actually rather cultivate our consciousness to realize His real nature, to develop an attraction, it's not difficult. It automatically develops. When we hear about Krishna, when we see Krishna, naturally attraction develops. If someone is not very offensive, he hasn't committed violence or something on devotees, generally speaking, just by little contact with Krishna, little taste of Krishna prasadam, or seeing the deity or hearing the kirtan, person becomes attracted. And the more that one allows himself, allows the mind to be attracted by Krishna, doesn't try to impede it. The tendency is to forcibly actually stem the attraction. When I first became a devotee in Montreal, my brother came up He's 5 years younger than me. He was living in the temple, taking prasadam. One day he came and said that, now I have to go. I said, why? He said, because I'm becoming very attractive. I'd like to prasadam. I'd like to chant him. If I stay here any longer, then when I go home, how will I eat? No one will be able to cook vegetarian food, so I better get out quick before it's too late. This is the materialistic. Actually, people are avoiding Krishna. They avoid. They try to appear cool, but it's a conscious effort to avoid anything in connection with the Supreme Person. Many people are like that. Then there are many innocent people. They're not particularly avoiding, neither they're particularly, they have no association. They're also discouraged because then there are many who actually appear, like to appear to be very conscious of God, but their actual intention is only to get some material facility out of it. There's no actual real attraction to Krishna's qualities. So this Krishna conscious movement is described here in the Bhagavatam as the pure akhapat, as the concept which is free from cheating. It's discarded all type of cheating religion. Cheating religion is described as something which has a result other than the eternal absolute result. If religion is being used as an instrument to obtain something else, then it's not pure. If the goal and the means are the same, then it's perfect. Because then it's eternal. But if the goal is different than the process, then it's not perfect. Therefore, there will always be at one point a hypocrisy. So this Krishna conscious movement is based upon that unity and diversity, that the goal and the mean is the same. This is unique. So here, these devotees, they're offering their prayers. They simply love Krishna for Krishna's sake. They're not saying that, Krishna, we want to see your smile because by your smile this will increase our bank balance or anything else. Although no doubt by Krishna's presence they're getting all good fortune. But actually, they're loving Krishna just for Krishna's sake. They love to see His smiling face. For them it is the greatest festival. In Vrindavana, when Krishna would come back with the cows, just in the evening. In fact, because of Krishna coming back, at that time of day with the cows from the field, and then the cows' hooves kick up the dust and make the whole area filled with this dust from the cows, like a little cloud of dust comes up. So that time, the time before sunset, when the light of the sun starts to diminish, but it's still not sunset, not the twilight. That is called Goduli. Go means cow, duli means dust. The time of cow dust. Clouds coming in the sky. So that is considered one of the type of baths. That actually that is purified. That even one, if he goes in that dust, it's not contaminating, that's rather purifying. But the residents of Vrindavan, they would wait at that time, not particularly because they wanted to be purified by the cow dust, but because they wanted to see Krishna's lotus face. For them, that was the greatest festival, to see Krishna with his associates, with the cows coming in. Nitya Mahotsav. A festival is called Utsav. Ut means to uplift. To uplift of everyone, all the consciousness. Utsaho. Enthusiasm. Utsav. It increases our enthusiasm, our enlightenment, our joy, our happiness. That is meaning a festival. And Maho means great, Mahotsav, a great festival. So the Bhagavatam describes that Krishna is coming back with the cows and all the residents of Vrindavan running out of their house just to see. That was a Mahotsav. A great source of joy, inspiration, and enthusiasm for all of the residents of Vrindavan. It was a festival. Similarly, these residents of Dwaraka, for them, to see Krishna, that was the greatest festival. So if one develops this pure attraction and affection to Krishna, which is this condition by what Krishna will do for me, what is in it for me. Naturally, of course, now we think that, well, I should worship Krishna because I want to get out of birth and death. I want to realize my eternal spiritual self, or I want to get out of this miserable condition, or I want to understand what is the ultimate reality. Or we may have so many objectives initially. But this is a perfectional stage that these residents of Dwarka are at. They have transcended all type of other consideration. They're simply, purely satisfied and desirous of seeing Krishna for Krishna's sake. They have no other objective. And what does it say? Whose smiles vanquish all our suffering. That means that when they see Krishna, then there's no suffering. When they're not seeing Krishna, that's their suffering. In other words, if we are always seeing Krishna, then where's the question of suffering? Someone else may like, just like in the airport you see so many people. Of course, now, you don't see it so much in America, because personal relationships are not as thick as in other places, although you do see sometimes. But especially in the Orient, I've seen in India and Bangladesh, sometimes you see that 50 people come to see off someone at the airport. And as they're going, they're crying, going for a 2-week tour, you know, crying, you know, and hugging each other, and the kids waving, and then just, you know, on and on. And when they come back, you know, it's like a big reunion. Just like I was at a wedding of a disciple in Orissa, so they had to get they got married in the village. The custom is that the girl's family conducts the marriage, or they sponsor all the expenses and everything. So they held it there to please the family members. The custom there is that the mother-in-law, that means the mother of the girl, because they're losing their daughter, daughter's going to go with the husband. She cries. And this mother, the way she cried, one would think that wasn't a question that the daughter was going, but she's already dead. She's there. She cried so intensely that at one point she fell down and started rolling on the ground. Everyone just looked at each other, what to do. So it got so intense that even the daughter started crying. Pretty soon, you know, half the women were all bawling. And a few of the men also. Their feeling. So there can be the very strong type of sentiment there. But actually, then after a month, the daughter-in-law come back, or the daughter will come back, because so there'll be a big, you know, or they come off the plane, they'll be very happy, right? And after about 2 hours, and it's all right back to normal. But here we see that this is actually for them a baby festival. With Krishna, there's no satiation. The attachment or the sentiment that we see in this world is simply a very dim reflection. But the pure, and no one can say that, oh, because they're seeing all the miseries, all the problems are vanquished. All the suffering is gone. Simply the suffering that person has come back, that much suffering is gone. But after a half hour, then all the suffering, but no. They're seeing Krishna, all their suffering is gone. So, someone who can see Krishna, of course, his faith is unshakable. You can start to see Krishna by chanting. Krishna is not different from his name. If we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can see Krishna through our ears. And we can develop the spontaneous faith. Spontaneous faith is one kind of intellectual faith developed by knowledge, by understanding. Then of course there's the blind faith. So we do not advocate blind faith. First of all, one should understand by intellect. Understand the philosophy, study it, be satisfied. Then one should apply it. And by applying, then one will have a realized faith. Just like we can read that oxygen and hydrogen, when you combine them by combustion, you'll get H2O, you'll get water. Sounds good. But then when you ignite some hydrogen, takes oxygen, and you get some water vapor, very simple scientific experiment they do in every high school chemistry class, and you get water vapor. Oh, yes, this is the proof. The whole modern day empirical science is based on that. First understand the theory, and then do an experiment and see if it works. So, of course, the difference is I can ignite the hydrogen and you can see the water. But in chanting Hare Krishna, I can chant Hare Krishna, but you may not see what is going on by chanting Hare Krishna. But I will be able to experience. Because seeing is also material, all these different material, but our experience is on a spiritual platform. So with spiritual awakened senses, with spiritual intelligence, we can experience. So that's also, there's an experiment. You take someone to, you know, someone say, well, this doesn't make any sense, not very scientific. But just like someone says, this is a very good restaurant, come and eat there. And the person is eating the food and everything, and great, makes a few smiles. So then, that won't really convince you. You may believe that, well, it tastes pretty good. But when you actually taste the food yourself, then you'll be able to taste. So it's not very scientific to just rely on the other person. He wants to eat himself. So that system is there in spiritual life. we should practice. And then by having the intellectual developed faith, the realized faith, then the spontaneous faith comes. Then we go on advancing more and more. So then we have faith to accept the spiritual master. We have faith to accept the devotional service of Krishna irrevocably. Irrevocably. It tells us that the Bhagavatam advises us that we should perform devotional service. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajitamaya Tyasu Vaidagam Jnanamitad Ayutikam Savai Pung Sangha Paro Dharma Yito Bhakti Hokhaje Haitu Kya Pratiyata Yayatma Supersedati. For supersedity, for complete satisfaction. For complete satisfaction, haitukya, apratiyata, causeless, haituki means causeless, unmotivated. Apratihata means unbroken. Today I believe in Krishna, tomorrow I don't believe in Krishna. The day after again I'll believe in Krishna. The faith, the connection, the practice, it has to be developed to the point where there is an unbroken. Unbroken means every day we chant, at every moment, we may not be able to simply meditate on Krishna at the beginning stage. We have so many works, we have so many things. But daily, we're thinking of Krishna. Practically every spare moment, we're thinking of Krishna, and then the remaining time we're doing different services for Krishna, or we're maintaining our body and soul together for the purpose of developing our Krishna consciousness. That is our ultimate goal. So that is also not unrelated. Apratihata. But then if we divert our attention to other goals, or if we are serving Krishna to obtain some other purpose, which is temporary, limited, imperfect, then our practice becomes no longer able to give supersedity, complete satisfaction. Yayatma. Atma means the soul, the spirit living force, which is the active principle, vital principle in the body. Atma also means the mind, intelligence. Atma also means the body. So yayatma supersedity means that when we are Krishna conscious, which is the savai pung sangha paro dharma, the perfection of all occupational duties, of all religious practices, of all yoga, then not only simply some spiritual, maybe someone will think it's ephemeral or something, some type of spiritual satisfaction, but simultaneously the spiritual, which is of course the most, which is the essential satisfaction, but simultaneously our mind and our body become satisfied, becomes happy. Otherwise, how devotees can maintain? Regulative principles, how they can lead us, sometimes even accept austerity. If they're not actually appeased, not only in their some spiritual way, but spiritually, mentally, and physically. In all respects, one gets completely satisfied. The senses stop agitating, the mind stops jittering as we develop our spiritual consciousness, our Krishna consciousness. Such a faith develops in the Lord that no other consideration is any more prominent. Just like, for instance, our Panchatattva great devotee, Siva. He and his good wife, Malini, were of course the purest of devotees. So Lord Nityananda, he used to visit their house practically every day he was in novelty. And Nityananda Prabhu, he's known as Avadhut because he's beyond the Vanasam, he's beyond different type of system. He's actually, of course, the Supreme Lord, and he doesn't, he's not restricted to any kind of materialistic regulative principles. He had a particular affection to Malini, just like she was his mother. And so when he would go to Srivas's house, he became in the mood just like a small five-year-old boy, although he was fully grown. He wouldn't eat with his own hands. He would just sit there, like a little baby, 2-3 years old, they don't eat. The mother has to feed, and Malini would take the food and feed it. It was unique relationship. So, in this way, Lord Nityananda, you sometimes became absorbed in this, and then Malini became absorbed in Vatsalya. She was thinking that Nityananda is just like my son, or just saw in that vision as son. And her affection in that Vatsalya parental relationship was completely manifest, as was Srivas towards Nityananda on these, especially on these occasions. So one day Lord Chaitanya, he decided to test Srivas, test his faith. So he told Srivas, why you are keeping Nityananda in your house? He's an avadhut. He's just doing this and that without any consideration of Vedic principles. You don't know what is his caste, what is his family tradition. It's like a nondescript, he wanders here and there. Why are you keeping him in the house? He may ruin your whole family in this way. You should immediately kick him out. Don't keep him in your house. Why do you want to keep him in your house? Throw him out and save your family. Well, this one by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke very strongly like that to Srivas. Srivas paid his obeisances and said, Lord, I am your eternal devotee. But you are trying to test me like this. It's not very appropriate. I know that Nityananda and you, there's no difference. That there's no difference between Nityananda Prabhu's body and your body. They're transcendental. Even if Nityananda were today to go with some drunken jovani, that means drunken, you can say, low caste girl means like a meteor, you know, just like that. White aborigine. Even if he were to go with some drunken some prostitute or something, still I wouldn't. In any way forsaken. Even if by his being in my house, my whole dynasty, my whole family, everything, my wealth, my good name, it all gets destroyed. I don't care. I'll never I'll never give up the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Whatever he does or doesn't do, that I'm not going to see. Because I know that actually he's on the transcendental path. Therefore he can do anything to my vision, it will not affect my faith. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this. Then he started jumping. Hariwa, Hariwa, Hariwa! Jumping up and down, just dancing. Your faith is so strong. This is a great source of joy to me. Because actually, Siva, and he was very hurt even that this test was being done. When he spoke it, there were tears in his eyes. He was very intensely speaking it. There was no doubt that he meant it from the core of his heart. Lord Chaitanya said, for your faith, I'm going today give you a special boon. Special blessing. Anyone who resides in your house, even the cat and the dog, an animal that somehow or another are residing in your house, all of them will have indestructible, permanent, pure devotional service. Praying bhakti, simply by residing in your house. And because of your faith, that even you'll sacrifice your family, well, everything. Even if Lakshmi Devi, who's always residing on the chest of Narayana, who is the goddess of fortune, all the wealth, everything is coming from her. Even if somehow or other she loses her fortune and she becomes a beggar, going from house to house begging, but there'll never be any obhav. There'll never be any one in your house. There'll never be anyone. There'll never be any shortage or insufficiency. You'll always have enough to perform devotional service and to do all the necessary things. You'll never have any shortage. These are my blessings to you. So even sometimes Krishna himself he tests the devotion. Just like Narada Muni told Dhruva Maharaj, go back! Go back to your kingdom! What is the use of you coming out here and looking for God? You just go back and don't take all the risk of being here in the jungle with the animals and the tigers and lions and snakes. They may devour you! Dhruva Maharaj said, thank you very much for your kind instruction, Narada Muni, but I beg to your pardon because I cannot accept. I have come here with the determination to find God. If you can help me to find Bhagavan, then I'm glad to take nothing to do with the material world. Therefore, we have to be careful not to allow material austerity, material penance, material pious activity to creep in. Ordinarily, these things are considered to be very great religious that we don't even allow them to come in. What to speak of sinful activity? Far away. So by serving with our mind focused on Radha Krishna, constantly bringing our mind back, automatically by the mercy of Nitai Gaur, we are purified, we gain this highest perfection of life. So Krishna has many energies, but it's described of all the energies. He has many pleasure potency. You see, his pleasure potency is very vast. But the prema, that is the crest jewel. So that personification of prema, of pure love, is Srimati Radharani. She alone possesses the highest complete manifestation of pure love. She is the embodiment of that pure love. So it's not possible to discuss or understand until one gets to Siddha Deho, then we can begin to appreciate Radha Krishna. Before then we can get just like a drop from the ocean. Even that drop is overwhelming. But it is very difficult to understand. So therefore, we should first of all understand our position in this material world, as was so nicely explained to you, how we are wandering from body to body, how our different desires. Now, if we purify our desires, follow in the footsteps of the pure Vrindavan devotees, then we can achieve the highest perfection of life. It is one of the goals to be able to understand what is the real meaning of Radha Krishna worship, what is the real meaning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. It is not something that can be academically immediately understood. Even the descriptions are not equivalent to the full understanding. They are an explanation to give an indication what is the purpose, what is the meaning. But the actual understanding is only realized. It's not something which we can contain in words or in our mind. It is something which is realized by the pure, fully developed soul. Just like when Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya are discussing, so many scholars we gave in India, there was one Christian priest who wanted to write a review on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually what happened was, we wanted to give Chaitanya Charitamrita to be reviewed, so we gave it to the biggest newspaper there. So they started doing a funny business. So what they did is they said, all right, they called the biggest Christian scholar and said, we'd like you to review this book. So then we gave him the Adi Leela 1 and Anti Leela 5. All right, do your review. He read the book 5 times for 3 months. And he said that, I can't review it. He said, this goes into something which is beyond me. And he said a lot of other things, but practically he was transformed to some extent to devotee, but it was beyond him. That if he gave the review, it would be an expose on other religions. That was his point. But what this is discussing goes so far beyond that as a Christian priest, if he were to actually give a proper review, he would be excommunicated. That was the basic thing that he was saying. So, the point is that we have to understand our position and very carefully serve and develop this selflessness. Actually, I'm still recovering from a very big attack I got yesterday. A very interesting thought that today being Radharani's appearance day, that yesterday was the day before, customer day before, you have some functions. Alright, so when Chaitanya Leela Radha came as Gadadhara and Vrishabhanu came as Sundarik Vidyanidhi, so I described how they first met, how it was very wonderful that Pundarik, who was Vrishabhanu, became the guru of Radharani, of Gadadhara in Chaitanya Leela. I simply explained that Lord Chaitanya was Radha Krishna combined to become Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his esoteric purpose of coming. And then some devotee with a Brahmin said at the end of the class, he said that if Krishna is the Paramatma, then why does he have to become, then why does he have to take the mood of the devotee to understand what the devotee is thinking, to understand what Radharani is thinking? And that question is so far off. That question has got so many aparadas and rasabhas in it that I still haven't recovered. And how a devotee, it was an innocent question, no doubt, but it just is completely. Because first of all, we're discussing here, Radharani had nothing to do, first of all, that if Krishna is the Paramatma. Completely of what if Krishna was the Paramatma. Why if? You're doubting that Krishna is the Paramatma. It's one thing if there's some other person. The first is if Krishna was the Paramatma, the Krishna aparat. Then the second thing was that, then why does he have to take the mood of Radharani to understand what her mind is? Paramatma is in the conditioned soul's heart.
that equated Radharani to a conditioned soul, having a material body, and that Krishna was her Paramatma. The wife Krishna can't know her mind. There was a Radha Aparad. And then the whole thing was a Rasabhan. And then I thought that I can't, you know, this has taught me that I should never explain anymore, you know, anything that's a little bit esoteric, because then some devotee very innocently, you know, would just get involved in some kind of doubt and commit offenses. But Krishna, in Vaikuntha, he's the Supreme Narayana. There he knows everything that's going on. But he takes a different mood in Goloka. That is his opulence. Just like in the courtroom, the high court judge is completely in control of everything. But when he goes home, he allows his wife to control him. That doesn't mean that he's any less. Radharani is expansion of Krishna's pleasure potency. She has all the transcendental qualities, but she's attracted by Krishna, therefore she's defeated by Krishna. So Krishna, he also allows himself to be defeated by her. And this goes on in an eternal pastime which is beyond our ability to understand. So somehow, as an extension of that, Lord Chaitanya has come down. It's actually very impossible for us to understand. Still, great devotees like Krishnadas, Kaviraj, Rupa and Sanatan, they're so kind to give some explanation, just so that we can know. But then we should understand that how far removed is Paramatma from Krishna, and what is the position of Radharani. Devotees should be very careful, as I said, worshipping Radha Krishna, even discussing Radha Krishna. Very deep water. You have to be very careful. Then I was trying to explain, and I felt that still that belligerent attitude was there. So therefore I didn't want to get too much deep into any more thick water. So we should understand, what is the position of Radharani? She's not a conditioned soul. She doesn't have a super soul, Vishnu in her heart. She's Krishna's non-different energy. You saw the picture of Krishna, they're completely one. But somehow they become two. And we'll never be able to understand until we follow in the footsteps of the pure devotees. All we can understand, all the reason this is explained, is just to understand this point, that this is the topmost. This is the ultimate summum bonum of life. Not that we can understand by discussing it or by having joint meetings or private discussions. It's not possible. But by, first of all, understanding in a relative way, by our limited intelligence, that actually there's no higher concept than that. It encompasses everything. Now, follow in their footsteps. Follow in the footsteps. Become a pure devotee. Surrender yourself. Give up desire for personal sense gratification. Simply serve the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chant constantly Hare Krishna. Always remember. Then what is guaranteed here if one is always remembering and chanting and serving Radha Krishna? Serving the Lord. Then one attains to their direct service in the future. What more can one desire? At that time then we can understand. Actually, all the details. Actually, even before then, gradually more and more is revealed. Before then, now the discussion is just that one can be convinced that yes, there's nothing more complete understanding of absolute truth than that. This encompasses everything. Now I have to really understand it by realization. We believe in realization. We're not academic. We realize by realization. So that knowledge is there, and the realization of that comes to the practice. So even a sadhana siddhi, even someone who's practicing sadhana, the daily practice of rules and regulations, if he sticks to it, develops this mood, follows in the footsteps of these pure devotees, then he achieves the same success as the eternally liberated soul. In spite of it being Kali Yuga with so many deficiencies and so many obstacles, by the mercy of Radha and Krishna, they've come down as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us this mercy, to lift us up. Somehow or another, the people that are present here today, they're the most fortunate, favorites of Srimati Radharani, Sri Krishna, Gokulananda, and their devotees. Somehow or another, they've been brought to the association of devotees with a little endeavor. Just by changing the mental attitude from personal sense gratification to Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna is the summum bonum, he's like the root of everything. When we satisfy him, we automatically become satisfied. So if one just changes his mentality, following in it, developing that mood, and serves with that new mentality, immediately he can feel transcendental bliss. Once he achieves that transcendental bliss, then it's very easy to forget about sense gratification. But without changing our mentality, if we think that we're going to get transcendental bliss, it's very difficult. We can get for a moment, then it goes away. So that is an essential thing now, to change our mentality from one of being an enjoyer, one of being a controller, to one of being a servant, one of being enjoyed by the Lord. That's why Narottam Das Thakur, Vishoya Acharya Kave Tuccha Have Mon. When will I give up this desire to lord it over, to enjoy? When will I have the desire simply to be enjoyed, to be a servant? Give up this false material position. This can happen very easily by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. She has reached the topmost position. The Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, is performing tapasya to try to achieve the standard of purity and chastity of Srimati Radharani. But she was refused even admittance into the Rasa dance. Gauri, she also wants to achieve that highest standard of chastity. What to speak of the consorts of Indra, Vasistha, and other greats? They're always hankering, but they. She's a crestual. So take it that her mercy is there embodied in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By her direct, and that mercy has been given down to the six Goswamis, Nitai Gaur, six Goswamis, to the spiritual master and the Vaishnava. So somehow we should get that mercy wherever we can and get the special favor of Srimati Radharani and go back to home, back to Godhead. Wherever they like, we can go in their transcendental service. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Srimati Radha Singh Utsav Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Srila Chittapad Ki Jai. Jai. Golden color, like molten gold. How is it possible? Exactly. She doesn't have a material form. This description, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But you can't exactly understand. Krishna is so attractive, he attracts even the cupids. But Radharani is so attractive, she attracts Krishna. So she doesn't try to attract anyone else, neither is she to be attracted by anyone else. Her only purpose is to be attracted by Krishna. Not conscious of anyone else. When one hears and is not agitated by sex desire, reminded about material sex activity, that is a one of the qualifications that was mentioned in the Shastra. The point here is about the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, and becomes materially agitated, so then definitely one should listen. The other qualifications of Prabhupada said one should understand the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam, then go on to the 10th. Then go on to the 10th most confidential subject matter is Radha Krishna, gopis and Krishna, etc. Pardon? Why not? And all the energies are, why not? Tulsi also. She's one of the principal Panjari. Assistants of the gopis. Vrinda Devi. Tulsi is Vrinda Devi. If we're chanting and we're not, our hearts are not melting, that means that we have the effect of sinful activities and aparadas. But because we're chanting, we may be getting some shelter. But if we're, our chanting is completely offenseless, then we'll directly perceive Krishna is not different from His name. We'll have a complete realization of Krishna through chanting. It's like Haridas Thakur and other devotees achieve. So we can take it that definitely we have offenses. So all we can do now is try to avoid more offenses and then serve very carefully to eradicate what offenses we have now. It may be that now we're just cleansing. We don't have any great, really big offense. But if we're careless, then it further upsets. Sometimes devotees, they seem to make rapid advancement and they get stuck and they even have decreased sometimes due to seeing other devotees in a materialistic way and committing offenses. Prabhupada said that we have to be careful not to think, we may think that our Prabhupada was pure devotee and when we were, the godbrothers were all present, sometimes we would think of each other maybe in some other vision. But he was saying that you have to see each other as Vaishnavas. All my followers are pure devotees. Don't offend anyone. Krishna will be displeased. In preaching, sometimes one has to protect if some other, like Prabhupada sometimes would protect us from other borderline activities which were not really favorable to ISKCON but were performed by other Vaishnavas. He had to criticize to protect us. Even then he asked forgiveness, explained that for preaching sometimes it's necessary, but we should just take the attitude of being very careful not to offend any devotees or the holy name or the deities. Definitely we're suffering from different type of offenses. Otherwise we would not be not in complete spontaneous devotional service after chanting for something.